Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Listening to the urban sports scene. We're also part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by my co-host Ray. What's going on, Ray?
College basketball, my guy. Hey, listen, I know you can't see my shirt. Got the HBCU shirt on, baby.
Oh, where'd you get that from? When'd you get that?
Bro, you've seen it before, man. I actually
have you. Why you give me one in, bro? Tomorrow, I seen it before.
I got you, man.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, what's the junk you got from?
I didn't get it. I didn't get it at the MEAC tournament. No,
but
I
not
got
the
it
MEAC. You get it before the MEAC.
But the girl had a stand there. Yeah, that has the business, man. She, you know, she hooked up with Mark Cuban on on that show. So she doing big things, man. Shout out to Tones and Melanin, bro.
Yeah. I need to get something from them too. Some more stuff.
But yeah, man. HBCU basketball. All college basketball starting. Howard looking good out the gates, looking like they might be front runners in the MEAC. I know Norfolk looked good as well, so it's going to be fun. The same top two teams looking real good this season out the gates.
But, yeah, we can't be remiss, man. Shout out to prayers out to Destiny Howell from Howard basketball, basketball team. She tore ACL. Like, I still think she's going to have a bright future. She can bounce back from the ACL, so prayers out to her. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, like we said this before on the show, man. She's one of them when it comes to scoring. And if you look at some of the some of the drafts out there in the WNBA, she's on some lists. She's on some mocks.
I'll be at Howard actually tomorrow for their women's game. And of course, Destiny won't be playing, but Coach Grace, I feel bad for her. Shout out to her, Coach Ty Grace, because she's dealt with injuries the past couple of seasons, man, major ones. And this is probably the biggest blow that she's probably felt. But she's an excellent coach, and I think that she's confident she can get that group rolling. So, yeah, appreciate the shout-out to Destiny and the Howard program. Even though we're UMES alum, we still got love for y'all. Even though Wole was mad after that game last season.
But I'm mad that the young lady's hurt. I mean,
man. So. Listen, you want to see people like her succeed because she's so talented. But also, as a competitor, I'm sure the other schools want to play against Destiny Howard. You want to be Howard when they're at their best. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I totally agree. So, yeah, shout out to her. Prayers out to her. The rehab is going to be real, but I am confident that she's going to bounce back. I am so confident in that. I mentioned Amplifier Media. Amplifier Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
And if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. And wherever you're watching this, go to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel and subscribe. Don't forget to hit us up on X at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene. And like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Hey, also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
And then check out the Urban Sports Scene versus Football Garbage Time Challenge. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com to see the Urban Sports Scene versus Football Garbage Time Challenge. By the way, we got the Survivor League with them, and I did win it, by the way.
Did you win it? Wong.
Yeah, I did win that league, but I haven't seen a post on X.
Oh, they didn't give you your flowers? They dirty. No, they always call you out when you're losing.
They hating. If that was him that won, we would have already been receiving DMs and tweets and all this stuff. So I'm going to call him out because you know we're gonna get that reminder. Hey, send me your picks. Yeah, I want to get some acknowledgement, like Roman Reigns, baby.
Acknowledge me. Acknowledge Ray. Not only acknowledge me, acknowledge Ray. There you go.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge yes, Ray.
But check out the picks. Everybody's doing pretty well. Well, Lay, you still down bottom, but you know, cool, I like your picks though because you're a betting man. You're a gambling guy.
Yeah, I just don't be caring. That's the problem. Some I need to care more. But do some I have people they coming at me, Ray. Just like you're right. When you up, they don't be saying nothing. But when I'm down, they be trying to call me out on these little chats and within the Football Garbage Time Urban Sports Scene Challenge chat joint. So it is what it is. I get it. Give me while I'm down. When I'm hot, y'all don't want to see me. Y'all don't. Y'all want to see me. But anyway, Will T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Commanders defeating the New England Patriots and their upcoming game against the Seattle Seahawks. Chris Powell, host of Couch Coach Live, will join us for some Commanders talk. We'll talk about the Wizards' performance in the NBA in-season tournament. And also, we'll talk about Jordan Poole's play finally at 8:45. We'll talk about James Harden being traded to the LA Clippers. And we'll discuss if they're really threats to go to the NBA Finals. But first, as I mentioned before, let me introduce our guest. I want to play a clip with him in a minute. All right. So our guest is host of Couch Coach Live. I want to introduce my man Chris Powell to the set, man. What is going on, Chris, man?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
You good, man? Glad to have you on, my man.
Glad to be here, man. Absolutely.
That's what's up, man. Before we get started, man, we know we've had you on before, but we had you on our audio version of the show. But can you let our viewers know about Couch Coach Live?
Yeah, man. So Couch Coach Live is, you know, a show that you can check out. And actually, we normally do it on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. So
I thought so.
Oh, we here. Yeah, so we do that. So pretty much, we just talk about everything in the world of sports going on that week. And, you know, good show. We just, you know, just lighthearted. We ain't going to hit you with the analysis, like talk about it. We're going to, you know, it's just an enjoyable time. You'll be entertained, a little bit of laughter, and all. And also my co-host, Malway, is well on there. So definitely check us out. Website, couchcoachlive.com. We're on Twitter, aka X. All that's pretty much social media, Couch Coach Live. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Man, we're glad to have you, bro. On, man.
Appreciate you because you joined – all Burgundy and Gold, everything. Actually, well, that's what he came on. If you remember that,
yeah, yes. I remember that. Yeah. That's true. That's
season
true.
Season debut, 2021. We played the Chargers. Sir. Yes.
Oh, my man. Yes. It's good to have you back. Yes, it's been a minute.
While
you're back, bro, it's a couple people that ain't back, and that's Chase Young and Montez Sweat. They are gone. both traded. Montez Sweat with the Bears now got a nice deal, and Chase Young is with the 49ers. After the trade, the Commanders were able to bounce back. Of course, defeat New England, man. What was your thoughts on that performance, bro?
I mean, you just look at it. You know, I know a lot of people will look at this as far as what's New England, but it's a professional football team. These are teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, these grown folks, these men, these men playing football. They got wives and children. They got mouths to feed.
I love
so, it. Hey, you know, I loved it. I loved, you know, the resilience of this team fighting back because there was a lot of moments and, you know, as far as and I know, Wally, we go back and forth on social media sometimes. You're like, it's something about this team that just make you want to say bad stuff, but then they do something that make you be like, okay, false alarm. But I think, you know, a great win. You know, obviously, you look like the player Sam Howell, you know, and I was very impressed by what he did. Because normally they always say when Bill Belichick go against his, you know, if you play Bill Belichick the first time, oh, he's gonna school you. But Sam Howell, he. I mean, I know we close to Thanksgiving, but he coughed up Bill Belichick in that defense. So, yeah, so it's kind of one of those where I'm, you know, it kind of gives you some hope. I mean, obviously, like you said, the trades, you know, losing two guys, and that's one thing with it. You know, we understand it's the business of it. But these are two good young men. You know, obviously, you know, you cover the Commands as well. Mm-hmm. And you get to know these guys. You know, obviously, you look at like Chase, homegrown talent from the DMV. Mm-hmm. Him battling injuries. And we know, you know, how it was tough for him to essentially kind of get off the, stand on the field with his injury concerns. So you always wanted him to kind of bounce back. And then you look at what Montez, even though he was a first-round pick, you've seen, you know, his growth. And then, you know, obviously – the tragedy that happened in his life a few years ago and him kind of bouncing back, you know, because, you know, what happened, you know, a few years back to him, it could demoralize even the most to anybody. So for him to kind of come back, and those are the kind of stories where you look at and it's like, you're happy for him, you know, doing that thing. And, you know, I know I knew the unit wasn't going to be there the whole entire time, you know, as far as what we got. I knew there was going to be a quote-unquote casualty. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, somebody not being here, I didn't think both of them was going to get traded. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it is what it is. But we get that Friday pick. So I think we get that Friday pick, you know, say the second round Bears pick, which is going to pretty much be that, you like know, one round. Of the first round picks. So we'll get some great value if whoever's going to be here,
you already know.
Right. And whoever can, you know, get that talent, you know, maybe, you know, that'd be worth as well.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We're joined by Chris Palvin, Cowboys Coach Live. And, bro, you mentioned Sam Howell already. Mm-hmm. Threw for 325 yards against the Patriots and a touchdown. He's getting a lot of love on the national media scene. Yep. Second in the league in passing. Patrick Mahomes is not playing as well without EB as his OC. Mm-hmm. And now it looks as though Sam Howell could get not just himself the bag, but he could also get EB the bag as well. What's your thoughts about Sam Howell and his play, man? Assess it for us, bro.
I told y'all. I'm telling you. I've
been my man confident. I told y'all.
And it's funny because it's like I'm telling you. I remember when we drafted him last year in my apartment. I guarantee you, I bet my neighbors heard me scream. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a University of North Carolina football fan. So it's like I've followed him since he's been in high school. Okay. So I followed him since he was about 16, 17 years old. Mm. And, you know, when people was asking me about Sam Howell this year, like I said, he's cerebral. He's a guy that's going to never quit because we seen instances. I know there was a game against Florida State that we played a few years back. We were getting our tails kicked in. But Sam Howell, he didn't have no emotion. And to me, I was like, that sticks out because, you know, you get your tail kicked. You're at a point. I know, be human. I like, look, it's time to worry about dinner. But he's focused essentially on the game. And he stayed focused. And he took the beating. He took a lot of hits in that game. I remember one time he threw a pick six, but he came back and he battled up. Dude is tough. He don't have no emotion. That's good for this type of team and this franchise. And he's what I thought he was going to be. I knew there was going to be some growing pains. Like, I think, like, that Patriots one, because I even thought about it, like, early in the year. Mm-hmm. There's going to be points where once Sam gets acclimated, he's going to get greedy. And that that play against New England was indicative of kind of the greediness that he have. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I expected Sam Howell to be this way. I mean, he did this 3 years at UNC.
So you're like, I told you so? I told you so type of person?
Yep. I mean, not really, but it's just one of those where it's like, because I think a lot of people had doubt in him. And I think that's where, you know, because people can say such and so, but it's like, you know, people say, well, how do you know this about Sam Howell? Because people question me and you know, counter. And I'm like, well, I've seen him play since he was in high school. So it's like, there's nothing new. Like, you know, even though it's a new level, but that's just his personality. That's how he's been since, I think I followed him maybe 2018, 19, right around that time period. He's been that way.
No, he is. I think I love about Sam Howell. I do want to ask, before I get into my thoughts on Sam Howell, so he's always been this cool, calm, and collect, even from the good or bad, because it's just, to me, what I like about him, and I know many people have said it, so I don't want to be super redundant, but when he throws a pick, yeah, he's pissed, but it's like the same. It's the same energy you get as if he scored. He threw a touchdown. Like, it's not like he gets too high or too low in the situation. So he's always been like that from you following since high school to Carolina. He's always been that way.
Yeah, and for the most part, that's one thing I liked about it, because, like I was telling people, you know, it's a stark difference than what we had almost a year ago, where we had a quarterback that just signed with the LA Rams that would have a temper tantrum and have the mental outburst. Though, and I think when Trayvon Diggs picked him off, I think he almost damn near broke a tablet. So it's like to a point where you're not gonna have that. You're not gonna have like Sam Howell throwing a tablet. Like I said, if he throws a tablet, we all in trouble, because we all, you know, it's it may be the end of the world if you see Sam Howell break a tablet.
That's crazy. Well, yeah, I again, that's what I like about Sam Howell. It's like his temperament. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, you know, to me, it shows you a lot where he had that, like, that quote unquote bonehead play where he threw the interception in the back of the end zone when they had an opportunity to score points in the red zone, touchdown or field goal before the half. And to come back for most young quarterbacks, when you have a play like that, that can follow you in the second half. And it didn't. Like, he erased it. Like, it was like, okay, we back to business. Like, we're still in the game. Yes, I messed up, but I'm still good enough. I still have faith in this team, faith in EB, faith in the receivers to go in there and make plays and take this lead and win this football game. And we've seen it. We've seen in the past with other quarterbacks. I said this on our All Burgundy Gold post game show. Like, we've seen other quarterbacks who are now one of the top quarterbacks in the league here. Even Kirk Cousins, he would throw a pick, and then that would be get another pick, and you could see him stressing off that one pick. We've seen that with multiple quarterbacks here, and Carson Wentz, you just named, Taylor Heineke, you name, like, those individuals do a lot of picks. But for this kid, he doesn't just, when he throws a pick, he learns from that mistake, and he doesn't let it follow him. But also, he plays at a higher level with it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what? I've made this mistake, but I'm that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna make a play. I'm gonna make a play for my team. My man Deja New said that trait is good to have. You see it when he makes mistakes. He just comes back out and acts like nothing happened at all. Like,
hey,
go ahead.
And he's starting to win the roster over. Y'all heard John Allen basically saying this dude is a franchise quarterback, and Washington needs a franchise quarterback so bad.
Yeah, they're calling him
that guy.
Yeah, definitely calling him. So it's pretty cool, right? I said I did that, right, Ray? You see what I did there. All right. So, you know, Ray mentioned Chase Young earlier. He had a lot this. He was at Niners camp, Niners press conference like last week. He had a lot to say about this Washington Commanders organization. We're going to play that clip right now. It's going to be about a three minute clip. We're going to play that right now.
You get a heads up that the trade could occur. And what was your reaction when it finally went down?
Nah, honestly, I got everything on social media, just like you guys. Because, you know, I'm just playing my game, and it happened.
First thought when you found out it was San Francisco?
I wasn't mad. It's like, nah, you know, Nick is here. You know, always been a big brother to me, even at Ohio State. You know, I'm just stepping in here for, you know, today. Got in here last week. Just the culture, the vibe is a lot different. You know, I definitely know that I'm in the building with winners.
What's been your early impression of Chris Kocurek and Daryl Tapp working with that D-line group?
Oh, I love it. getting coached hard every day. The intensity, he has that. That's what everybody keeps telling me about. He's so intense. And I love it. You know, I love to be coached hard. You know, that's just going to make me go harder. Just the players, the spirit in the locker room, the spirit of the coaches, you know, it's just different, you know what I'm saying? It's like a kind of that same thing at Ohio State where it's like you're expected to win, and it's just like that vibe of we're going to win, you know what I'm saying? So it definitely reminds me not Ohio State, but obviously it's NFL. These are grown men, so. I'm just excited to, you know, be blessed with the opportunity to be this franchise.
Seeing the 49ers from afar, obviously they've been deep in the playoffs. I'm sure you probably have watched them. You've seen them a little bit on film because you don't play them a lot. But the expectations you had before getting here and now being amongst the guys, and I even played a game, but has anything changed or affirmed what you thought before about the Niners?
Culture. I see why they win. Just the details of each play, the details of my assignment, much more greater. So I see why they win.
I understand why you would say you weren't mad about being traded here, but is another part of you as a competitor like, you're going to trade me?
Nah, everything, God has a plan. You know, I wouldn't even say, I know who I am. I'm a competitor, you know. So, I mean, I'm going to compete. You know, I don't know what they're doing over there. That's over my head. I'm just going to be Chase Young, and I'm going to compete to the best I can.
Man, Chase had a lot. Oh, Chase had a lot to say. And if you still, you heard he said psych, psych, nah. Like, he a PG dude. Like, psych, nah. Chase is definitely from PG County. You can't even hide that one, bro. Oh, so I'm going to start with you. Chris. Your thoughts about, you know, his comments and some of the things that stood out to you.
I mean, at the end of the day, is he lying? He's not. And it honestly, I mean, it does kind of.
You don't want to hear that, up. But people don't want to hear right. It, but I'm with you. Go ahead.
It does suck that, hey, he found out on social media that he got traded. That's the only part I have an issue with. But, I mean, he's right. I mean, you know, and he goes to a team. Like he said, San Francisco has been successful. They made deep runs in the playoffs, you know, in this Kyle Shanahan era. Mm-hmm. I mean, and like you said, the winning culture, now, especially now he coming to a team where he understands why this team is good, because now you're looking at best they're pissed off after losing three straight football games where, mm-hmm. you know, as far as we know, the tenor and the mood when we lose, it's not as profound like in other locker rooms, but what he said is no lie. And then, you know, this is going to show you when we wake up on January 8th and everybody's gone, you know, so. It is what it is. I mean, it's, yeah.
I have a question for you, bro. And Wole, of course, you can answer as well. Yeah. When he talked about culture, and I like, of course, that he referenced Ohio State. He referenced winning programs.
Yeah.
And that's cool and all. But I think about, and we're old enough to remember, when Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice and that group, Derek Brooks, John Lynch, they changed the culture of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. I wonder if Chase could have been more of a leader in that regard, showing up for all-season workouts, and doing more to try to make Washington a winning culture versus, I mean, doing what's easy, in my opinion, and bashing a franchise that everybody kind of beats up on. But I think he could have did a little bit more. You know, I'm a Chase guy all day long. I'm not trying to criticize. What I'm saying is I get the shots. I understand it. But at the same time, bro, I feel, and you got to make your money. Go get your money, bro. I'm not mad at you about that. But I feel as though just looking at B-more, looking at Tampa, those situations, these players, they helped to turn around the culture even more than the coaches did, in my eyes.
I think it's a little different in this aspect. I mean, when you had Tony Dungy that helped that process, I know Warren Sapp initially wasn't happy in Tampa because he was sick of losing himself. Then he got Tony, it was different. So, and then you added in the element for Chase, he playing at home. So there is, like, to your point, Ray, is that immaturity and that home element, right? But I do think there is a little bit different, like how you said, like everybody changing the culture, because truth be told, we mentioned the great young players and they stayed there and they did good work with Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp. Really it was Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, and John Lynch. Those are like the three individuals that really was that started that whole program, changing that whole program. Mm-hmm. And Rondae Barber too. They changed and they got Simeon later, right? But those three really changed, and Rondae changed changed the whole program. But truth be told, it really changed when they brought Tony in the building. Like Tony Dungy, that's when it really, really changed, right? Because you brought in a leader to kind of lead those young men. You know what I'm saying? Because at first they were like all that talent was dwindling away. It wasn't doing what we see now. But once they got Tony, it was different. You can make, again, to your point, I think as a player, you have to have onus. You have to have onus of it. And Chase has an onus of it, to your point, Ray. Like, yeah, you could do a little bit more. Like you're the number two pick and the number two pick overall. And the team has pretty much showcased you as the face of the franchise being a local kid, right? So yes. To your point, Chase could have did a little bit more. But I do think that still the organization does play a part in that too. Like the coaching staff, Ron, like the producing the winning culture. Because Chase going to Ohio State, that was a winning culture. So he's spoiled, right? Just like the Bama kids for a certain extent are kind of spoiled. But they're different though. They're different makeup. Ohio State, then you come to Washington. Your rookie year, you have some success. Your rookie of the year, you go to the postseason. So for you, it's totally like, okay, I've had some success in the NFL. Then now you have adversity. You ain't not playing too well in your second year. Then you get it. Then you're knocked out with an injury for the whole year. An injury that some folks said you weren't going to come back from to be a decent player again. Now you're coming back. And then the culture, in terms of the team culture, is still the same old, same old. Like Ron is still dealing with some of the same things. Now you're looking at other coaches, like we mentioned San Francisco or whatever. Like, look how Kyle has changed that organization and changed the culture like that. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going into, for Chase, you're going to a culture just like you were in Ohio State. Similar, like, it's already well-oiled machine. This is a championship contender team. This is not even a playoff team. This is a championship contender team. This is something they're used to. You started off, you know what I'm saying? So now it's like it works out for him. So I think, yes, Chase could have took some responsibility, but I do think there is, to his point and what he said in the presser, there is a different energy. Like, I know that people don't want to hear it because they're homers, but it's a different energy. You're going from a team that expects to win the Super Bowl. You're going from a team who is just trying to get to the postseason, to a team who expects to win the Super Bowl. That's something he's used to. He went to Ohio State expecting to win a national championship. You know what I'm saying? And that his career was expected to win a national championship. If it wasn't a national championship, it wasn't that then they didn't achieve their goal. Regardless if it was a quote-unquote successful season for the outsiders, if they didn't win a national championship, that was a failure for them. Washington is a different thing. San Fran, they're expected to win championships.
Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. So I think the thing is, and it's weird because I thought, in my personal opinion, he was a catalyst of our culture in our 2020 run.
Yeah, he was.
I remember he got hurt, I think, when we went to Cleveland. And I remember he had the groin injury. And after seeing him, like, pepping up guys and even, you know, God rest his soul, like, the late Dwayne Haskins, he threw a few interceptions, kind of, get them straight and get them all situated, and we're making plays. So I was like, I loved it because I always like seeing when guys can't be on the field. What are they doing? You know, that's out there. So he was really engaged and all that. And then even when it switched to Taylor Heineke, he's doing his thing. And then I remember when the playoff game against Tampa, he's the one that's like, putting a high in the key, like looking, reading his jersey, after we thought that, we had that the touchdown run against when he ran it in against Tampa Bay.
And
I thought like he was the one, and like you said, and that's where pair him up with the Alabama boys, with Deron and John.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I was like, hey, not to quote the Bruce Allen, but the coach is damn good over here. And it's now it's just went kind of downhill. Like you said, ever since that ACL injury, it has changed. We got it late in 2021. So, yeah.
Real quick, I just want to say I agree with you, Wole, in the sense that you do have guys who were successful in college. He just mentioned the Bama Wall. Guys who used to win it.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Alabama, Mississippi State. You got these guys coming from these conferences that are known for winning football in college. And then you come to an organization with two defensive-minded coaches, and for some reason you cannot turn around the culture. That's extremely frustrating. But I still think these players maybe could have stepped it up a bit. Although, I like what you said. Sean Taylor was so dominant when he was here, and he had Gibbs now, mind you. But he was so dominant that he helped to change the culture just by his play on the field. He didn't have to say a whole lot. So I think players do have some responsibility, but I totally agree with you guys, no doubt.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a mixture of both. Like, players can't change the culture if you don't have the coaches to change the culture. You know what I mean? Like you can name all these, we can name a bunch of great players, but what's the common denominator with it? For instance, man, I think Aaron Donald is a player who changes culture, but who really helped change that Rams culture though? Sean McVay. You know what I'm saying? Like, but Aaron Donald's been in before Sean McVay. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are players. Jeff Fisher. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just being culture. Like, I feel like, players can set the culture as leaders. Like, for instance, I think Jonathan Allen's a guy, like, to your point, Ray, is a guy who has that aura about him, right? But has he changed the culture in terms of what it is? Has the culture truly changed? Because, again, the coach hasn't matched up with the player. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I would have put with Jay Jones that I would have kept Sweat, to be honest, but she ain't not for 100 mil. yeah, man. That's a – I like Montez, man. I'm glad he's going to get his money. I'm going to tell you that. Like,
Jay, I appreciate you. To your point, that is a shift in culture because when Snyder was really in his bag, he was throwing
money. He's going to get that money, right?
So there has been a culture shift in that regard. I would agree with Jay on that one.
Yeah, I will. I totally agree with that. Totally agree. So, not having Chase, not having Montez. He mentioned Montez. In terms of last Sunday, did you see a drop off in play with that defensive line without those two stud defensive ends?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it. Don't tell folks out there on social media.
They hate to hear that.
But it's obvious. I mean, you got a guy like a Mac Jones that essentially is a statue.
Yeah.
So it's like you got zero sacks. I think one QB hit. So mm-hmm. it's like, I mean, it's simple. I mean, you know, especially you know, it did happen. You know, that's mm-hmm. one thing where, you know, you're gonna lose cash, like you say. We get rid of a guy that was worth $100 million on a free market.
Yeah.
You're gonna lose that production, and I mean, it's gonna happen. I think that was expected. I didn't think we were gonna have like, you know, 2.5 or 3 sacks, nothing. No, I mean, it's you know, and I like Casey Tuhill and Jay Smith Williams, but let's be real, we lost mm-hmm. Chase and Montez. We lost, you know, so it's gonna happen. It's like you said, it's okay.
No, I agree.
Right. Yeah, like you said to the fans, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree. No, it's wild because I had some people on social media saying, like, I saw more pressure. I was like, what did you watch? Like, I was literally like, I mean, not, and it take your biasness alone away from it. Like, what did you watch? Like, there was, again, there's more pressure. I mean, you saw more pressure against mobile quarterbacks than the statue in Mac Jones. You know what I mean? Like, to be honest with you, this game lined up for Washington to have the most sacks they've had all season in one game. New England had a bad O-line and a quarterback who's not mobile. And they were, like you said, they had probably, I mean, one sack was taken away. KJ Henry, that was a sack. They took that away.
But
to your point, though, it wasn't like that dude, Mac Jones, had nothing but time in the pocket. So, yeah, I do think it was a drop-off. But to my man Jay, like Jay Jones' point, we just played better on the back end finally. I agree. I think that's what was better. Like the back end was solid. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't that like the front four didn't bring any true pressure, but the back end was definitely solid. So I definitely agree with Jay. Like I definitely agree with Jay. So, but yeah, I thought it was definitely was a slight drop off. But in terms of the young dude, rookie cornerback Emmanuel Forbes got his spot back. Rookie safety Quan Martin had the game ending interception. What were your thoughts on the young players who got the opportunity Sunday as a whole? What were your thoughts on them?
I loved it. Like you said, going back to Emmanuel Forbes, you know, it's tough to have a situation that he went through. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, this whole, you know, and it's tough to, you know, you lose your confidence. And I think he had a situation where, you know, things didn't go right for him, but he kind of got himself back in the lineup. Definitely happy for him. And definitely, and for Quan, I think that was such a great moment for him, you know, especially battling injuries throughout this whole season. So for him to get that opportunity and get that game winning interception, you know, great. And then, like I said, we talked about KJ Henry, even though he didn't rush a sack, which that's here nor there, but he got there. And then even you look at guys like Chris Rodriguez making a great play on special teams. And so it's encouraging. I think you know, especially when we really hasn't had it, like as far as when it comes to a rookie that has stood out. Mm-hmm. But you know, in this performance, you know, a couple guys did stand out.
Man, here's why I love doing the show, man. Wole, the points you made, Chris, the points you made, it is a great segue to what we're about to talk about now, because you talk about culture and coaches. Yeah. Pete Carroll is the poster boy of that. That brother knows how to win. He's doing big things with Geno Smith, who many wrote off. As we talk about players who have been written off, kind of like Chase Young at one point when he was injured, was written off. Geno Smith was that way. Geno Smith ended up getting almost knocked out by one of his teammates. It didn't look good for him. But now all that's in the past. I'm not trying to clown him, but he's lucky. He is lucky that didn't happen sooner, because it would have been a camera and that TMZ would have had that thing.
Man, anyway, what? What?
Pete Carroll, for real, Pete Carroll is somebody who he knows how to win. He knows how to motivate players. He knows how to use all of his pieces, no matter how talented they may be. And the Washington Commanders traveled to Seattle to play the Seattle Seahawks, who I think are around 5 or 6 point favorites. I don't know the betting line, but Chris, what do you expect out of this Commanders team, and what does this team need to do to get a victory?
Yeah, and this is going to be a true test. This is another one where if this team, if 1 week it looks like we're rebuilding, and next we got a, you know, good thing going at 4-5. And it's just to a point where this is a game that, hey, you got this. If you want to be a playoff team, this is the team that you want to be. And this could be something like where this could bite you in the butt if you fail and you're still trying to make a run into the playoffs. So this is a game that I definitely think that we need to have. how it's going to work. It's going to be interesting. You look at it from that standpoint, I think the biggest key for us, I think if we can win the turnover battle, we can, because obviously Geno Smith, I think he's had like 6 interceptions the last 4 games. I think that's going to maybe a situation where we can bounce back. But even though he, you know, last week, I know when they played Baltimore, he only had like 1 interception. But I definitely think if we could essentially get to a point where we can turn the football over, because I know we're not going to be able to, you know, as far as from their pass, you know, from, you know, their offense, as far as their wide receivers, they're going to have big days. It's like Smith and Joba. I think he's going to cook. And that's one thing where it's like, I look at these matchups and I'm like, we're so susceptible to having like a big play wide receiver just beat us and all that. But I think if we do that, as far as turnover battle defense, that we can take care of that, I think that can help. Mm-hmm. And then another thing, I think if on the offensive end, I think we need to run the football in this game, because you look at like Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore put on like a show from the running back perspective last week. So if we can run the football, and then also I call it the equal opportunity offense, where get that running game going and then get other guys involved, you know, as far as, you know, Logan, get him involved passing wise, Jahan, just get all the guys together. And like you said, we got like kind of a pick your poison type of offense. So I think those are going to be the keys we will win against Seattle. I'll put it that way. I'll put it in the air.
First off, you said playoffs. I don't know why you keep saying, why folks be saying playoffs. Like, they got to chill with the playoff talk.
One game at a time. You know, one of my favorite coaches, Randy Whitman, what did he tell us, Wole, years ago? This is when we first got into media. He said, know the mindset of your opponent. You failed to do that against the Bears. The Bears blew the biggest lead of the season to the Denver Broncos the week before, then Dick Butkus passed away, and they came out and mopped you because you couldn't match the energy. Know that a team that just got beat pretty bad in Baltimore, they're going to come out hungry this week. You got to match that energy, and I think that's when Coach Rivera to get his group ready.
The good thing about it is that, like, they're like you mentioned, they're already underdogs, so don't got to worry about trying to understand whatever. They 6.5 underdogs. They ain't like they favorite. Oh, 6.5. They 6.5 underdogs, and they're going to Seattle. I don't think they should ever think they're better than Seattle going into that game. If they think they're going that game thinking that Seattle's sweet, they already fucked. Oh, it's about to laugh. I'm about to curse. Oh, man, they're already freaking lost. You see, I stopped myself. They already freaking lost. So they better not go into that game thinking like, oh, we playing Seattle. Geno and them got mollywopped by the Baltimore Ravens. That's Baltimore. They ain't watching it. So, I don't think that's going to be the case. But I will say, to your point, forget being a fan, if you watch the Patriots game, you saw folks is wide open on certain plays. And Mac Jones is, God bless his soul, but he's trash. So, Geno Smith, if you got DK Metcalf, I mean, Lockett's questionable, but he's probably going to play. You got Smith, I can't really say his name like that, but Smith at Ohio State, the slot dude, he's talented. So they got dudes that can hurt you, and Geno got weapons. So, and if Washington doesn't put this is the thing everybody knows, if Washington don't put pressure on Geno, he's going to find them dudes. You can't do what you do with Mac Jones and give him time like that. You're going to have to bring pressure, because Geno is uncomfortable with pressure. I mean, I like Geno. Like, I've watched Geno from West Virginia. Like Ray said, I rooted for him with the Jets when he got his jaw broke. I rooted for him. When the Giants is Eli's backup. So I like Geno. But I know what bothers Geno. You have to blitz Geno. You cannot go in that situation thinking that Casey Tuhill, James Smith Williams, you know what I'm saying? They're going to bring pressure on their own off the defensive end because of what Jonathan Allen, DeRon Payne. Truth be told, I'm not going to put it on the ends. Jonathan Allen and DeRon Payne got to dominate. Those two got to dominate. If they don't dominate the Two Hills and the James Smith Williams dude, they don't ball. So those two got to dominate. If they can dominate and put pressure up front on Geno, then they'll be fine. If they can't put pressure on Geno, you're going to see Geno cook. Like I say, let Russ cook. Geno going to cook. So you're going to have to put pressure on Geno. That's not good enough. So you got them winning. Okay, that's what's up, man. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you.
Being a home.
If they have the key, if they follow the plan, I don't know if they're going to follow the plan or not, but if they follow the plan, they can win this game.
I'm going to let you predict. I ain't predicting that squad. I can't do it. I can't do that for you. I can't do that. All right, so, all right. Hey, Chris, man, thanks for being on, man. Before we let you go, tell our listeners again how they can catch you on social media and how can they catch the pod.
CouchCoachLive.com, the website, and also social media, CouchCoachLive, pretty much anywhere, Facebook, X, YouTube as well, CouchCoachLive. Just check us out every Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, but you also check out on the YouTube, you know, check y'all out first, and then, hey, holler at us.
No, check you out, later. Man. Don't do that. Yeah. Check you out, man. Check you out. Yeah, I already subscribed to y'all, so you got a new subscriber right now. So
it is.
All right, Chris, man. Appreciate you, man. Thanks again, man. All right, man.
Appreciate it, y'all. All right, thanks.
All right, bro.
All right, man. Chris, a dope dude, man. Had like you were right. It was all burgundy and gold everything. At first, I thought we had him. We never had him on here. It's okay. Then it was a good intro, man. All right, man. So it's time to talk some Wizards. The Wizards were up big. Now they were up big to the Charlotte Hornets. And now the Hornets were up by over 20, bro. They was up by 20 plus. Now that Charlotte cut the lead to 8. Like they were just up at halftime. And now third quarter, they cut 8. What's up with the Wizards, bro? Like for real. Like
I want to continue this discussion about culture. And the Wizards are trying to make a culture shift, which is why they overhauled their front office. Mm-hmm. And they now bring in personnel that was available as a result of some bad moves by the previous, he wasn't a GM. What was Tommy? President of basketball? No, he wasn't.
He was basically the GM though, right?
So Tommy made some mistakes, so you took what you could in order to sort of start the overhaul and the rebuilding process. And Jordan Poole is catching a beating on social media just about the type of energy he brings to this culture. But I'm going to say this about him. Jordan Poole has worked extremely hard to get where he is.
Yeah.
Considering he was in the G League, he wasn't somebody who was a big name in college playing in Michigan, even though he was so talented and still is very talented.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you're going to make a complete culture shift, you may need to consider making a coaching change. I'm not trying to knock West, but I don't know if West's defensive style is working because they're not playing good defense at this point. They haven't since he's been here. I think you got to continue to make changes. But some of the guys on the roster, you can keep around. I know we're going to talk about the rookie Bilal coming up. Kalabali, he's got all the talent potential. You have Daniel Gafford, who a lot of people consider him a poor man's Jared Allen. With Jared Allen is somebody who can do it all for you. But when Daniel Gafford plays against Jared Allen, you see that there's levels to that style of play, and Jared Allen's at the top of that. Even though Daniel Gafford, man, he gives you 110%. You love him. Kyle Kuzma, somebody who is a volume scorer, can shoot, streaky. I think you have pieces. It's just a matter of can you get a coach in here to maximize what you have and then, again, create a winning culture. I think that's what's lacking right now is there's no expectations this season and the team is performing like that.
I like Wes, so I don't even – like, I don't hate on Wes.
I do, too.
I like Wes. I don't know if he's the – I don't know if he's a problem. I do know that the sum of the parts aren't winning basketball, so I know that that's trying to hinder it. You got a dude in Jordan Poole who doesn't like playing defense, and you allocated a lot of resources into one. I mean, by terms of on the court, like you want this guy to average 20 points to be one of your leaders, and he just to me doesn't play winning basketball. He's averaging 18 points a game, roughly, like you can say 19, shooting 43% from the field, shooting 33% from three. It's not that, you know, somebody, I don't care typically about the field goal percentage. I don't care that, you know, he shoots about a low 40, but it's just the shot selection. I think the shot selection, it makes his shooting percentage low because he takes so many bad shots. You know what I'm saying? Like, because truth be told, he's a good shooter. Like he's a good shooter, you know, but if he took good shots and high quality shots, his percentage would be far better. Like the thing on Jordan Poole for me is like, I'm not sure, like, if on a winning team, what would you put him at? What would he be? Would he be your, because I don't see him as a number one. Like, I don't see him as a number one, just the way he plays.
Let me ask you this. What do you view Trae Young as? Is he a number one to you?
Yeah, because they win with him.
I don't like his shot selection,
but they, I'm not the big, so the reason I'm saying this, I'm not the biggest Trae Young fan. But I acknowledge that he can lead a team. Like I acknowledge that he can lead a team and improve a team. I acknowledge it. And he passes the ball though. Like he actually does pass the ball too though.
I asked about him because you had Nate McMillan as a coach there, but Quinn Snyder was brought in to
bring a fresh voice. Again,
yeah.
It's like a culture shift.
Yeah.
And you have a group that has the potential to win, and you had to make a change. And that's kind of what I'm seeing. And Trae Young, you mentioned some of the criticism that he receives around the league. Jordan Poole is very similar. His shot selection, effort is not there on defense, a little bit skinny, undersized. I think with the right guy in place, Jordan Poole can be a more effective player than what he's playing currently with Washington.
It's possible.
I think West is kind of running out of time, and I like West, but I just think maybe his demeanor, his message is growing a bit stale because, like I said, his onus is on defense, and the team just isn't playing it.
I would agree with that because that's a real valid point. I ain't gonna hold you, but he showed it in the postseason. Jordan Poole showed you what he was in the postseason with the Warriors, and it's carried over to here. Like the same way he's played with the Warriors with a good coach, he did the same thing in the postseason. That's when he was coming off the bench. If you watch that second, he's doing the same exact thing. He shot bad shots when that's what pissed off the players in the postseason. He didn't play defense. And he didn't pass the ball like that.
Yeah, well, so the noise around him is that once he got paid, his entire attitude changed, which led to the Draymond punch because they were all like fed up with his behavior because at first he was just grinding because he wanted to.
Of course,
he wanted to get paid, and they appreciated him when Steph was out and during that championship run. Jordan Poole really stepped up. It's just he ended up getting paid. He gained some swagger, and then his entire attitude changed. So somebody has got to find that guy that was wanting to make his space in the league, wanted to elevate his play, and he did. And then, of course, he switched up the game on him. See, I think about Jimmy Butler when I think about this. Jimmy Butler is somebody who grinds so hard to come from nothing to something. And while his attitude has changed, his approach to the game has.
Yes,
so somebody's got to be able to find that motivation that Jordan Poole had when he was trying to make that name for himself.
I don't know he gonna get it because the dude said my legacy is already supplanted after winning the championship, so I'm just playing for that. Lets you kind of know where his is.
Okay, if that's the case, you've been covering him.
Yeah, he said that.
Jordan Poole is not a guy that's going to help change the culture of this team.
Yeah, because he said I won a championship, my legacy is already there. I'm like, bro, you ain't got a legacy yet. You 24.
I don't like that mindset.
Yeah.
See, that's like Kobe winning that first title.
Yeah.
It's written.
Kobe, so it's not
the
written.
Guys who got it, Kobe, LeBron has it, where they want to consistently win. Mm-hmm. They don't want to settle. They want to win every year. LeBron went to the finals how many years in a row? Because he wasn't ever satisfied. He wants to be considered the greatest ever. And you got to have that mentality, man. Yeah. And some guys had, like Rip Hamilton had it. I'm not saying
He wanted to be better.
Rip Hamilton had it. There are guys who you know what they bring to the table, what they bring to a team culture. So if that's the case, I'm trying to get a benefit out because I like Jordan Poole, to be honest.
No, I know. I like that to your point, like be a G League leaguer. Because I liked him in Michigan. I thought he was really good in Michigan, actually. I thought he was good in Michigan. So I liked Jordan Poole's game. And then when he was in G League and you saw how he tried. And I liked how Golden State developed them too. They were given the opportunity, especially when Steph was out. So they would play their young dudes and they was playing Jordan Poole. So it kind of, it helped him out in the long run because it helped his growth process in the NBA. So I like the work. To your point, I just don't like what he is now. But maybe, like you said, bring in the right coach who can reach him. Because maybe West ain't the guy to reach him. But I don't know. To me, he's so out there, it's gonna be hard to reach somebody like that. But we'll see.
Well, if you bring in a guy, I mean, you're not gonna find. I don't know. Monty would have been good, man.
I don't know if Monty would be good for him. He different. Like, kid different. I think he needs, because Monty, a player coach, he's a player's coach to a certain extent, but he's just a good coach. Monty's just a good freaking coach. You know what? Maybe Monty would be good for, because Monty benched Ivy and all them. Now Ivy and Wiseman want to get traded. So
The guys who are top players around this league, they know who some of the best basketball minds.
Yeah,
Monty Williams at the top of that list, man.
Definitely. No, I'm not saying
that. It comes from USA Basketball in part, but also, just again, that Popovich tree is real, bro. It is.
Cause I'm thinking like he need a disciplinarian. That's why I'm thinking. Like he needs somebody who just don't. You saw how Monty dealt with Aiden.
Yeah,
he could do it. If he needs to, he will.
But he's also a great motivator. Yeah. Great motivator.
That's true. Real talk, he's done it with Ivy. Ivy don't even start, bro. So he's definitely Monty.
Ivy talented, yeah.
Yeah, so Monty definitely do his own thing.
Gotta earn it. You gotta earn it. Man.
Facts. All right, so Bilal Coulibaly is averaging 6 points per game. I mean, from what you watched so far, any games you watched from him, have you seen growth in his potential?
It's too early on to say I've seen growth. Mm-hmm. I just see the skill set, and I see how his size translates in the NBA, his length, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean, his ability to dribble. I think he has the opportunity to be successful. But the question is going to be this. We're talking about Jordan Poole, culture, all this stuff. Are you going to build around him? I think you can, actually.
Oh, I think you really can. Do. I think you can build around
him. I really do. So if he knows he's the guy, I think he's going to do it all, bro. So. I really do.
I think so. I agree with you. I think you can build around him. I'm seeing growth from him. I'm trying to pull up his stats too for tonight's game, but I'm seeing growth from him in terms of like he's shooting, he's like willing to shoot the three now.
And he's confident.
He's getting more confident. And he could play defense. I mean, and truth be told, I mentioned, you know, he got blasted, and a lot all of them got blasted by Boston. But something, you know, there's something about when you play against some of the best talent in the world, like a Jason Tatum, a guy in your position, or a Jaylen Brown, guys that you will probably be seeing for the next some odd years, and you compete against those individuals, and it's going to make you a better basketball player. So I just think that for him, like, he's going to become a better basketball player because of some of the experiences in the NBA and who he's getting to play against. Koulibaly, only 3 points, but 3 points in 15 minutes. He made a 3-pointer, one for one from three. But I do think they can build from it. You know what I'm saying? So because he's a guy that right now he doesn't need the ball to be uber successful, because he plays good defense. He can move without the ball. So you don't got to run a lot of ISO. You don't have to run ISO plays for him. So that's all dictate. It's going to be dictated on point guard play and whatnot. So not a lot of pressure on him. But I do think, like you said, Ray, you know, when he gets aggressive, you can see it. Because when I was covering the game, I asked Wes Unsell, you know, in that game, that actually was the Boston game. It was the Boston game. I said, you saw him earlier in the game, like, hesitate on jumpers. Like, he hesitated. He didn't want to shoot the three. Like, he had it open, but he just hesitated after his three ball got blocked. And then Wes said in the second half, you know, you saw his aggression, and then, you know, he was finishing around the basket. And you could see that from that point on throughout the multiple games since the Boston game. I feel like he's been, like you said, Ray, he's been more aggressive. So I do see it. I think he's a guy you can build around, definitely can build around, man.
I'm not going to hold you. If you look at these French guys, Batum, Tony Parker, Wimby, All of them are tough as nails, and I mean, Gobert. Bro. You can hate Gobert if you want.
All you want. Yeah, you can hate all you want to. I agree.
Gobert's right there. Like, these guys, they come to play. What's the boy, that light-skinned dude that played for – he's played for – dang, he can shoot. Played for Orlando. He just played for Knicks recently. I can't think of his name right now. Good gosh. Oh. Bradley Beal choked him out a couple years back.
Is he light-skinned? He's not really light-skinned. He thought he's white. What are you talking about? Is it light skin? I know you're talking about, though. He shoots a three. He used to play for Orlando. He used to play for another team.
He played for Knicks.
Yeah, he played for Orlando.
He's been around.
Yeah,
man.
He's a white boy. You sure? I know he's talking about. Is he sure?
He's not white.
What's his name? I'm looking Orlando roster.
I'm about to look him up now, real quick.
Yeah, please look him up, man. I know you're talking about, because he shoots threes, too. Number 15. Was he 15?
Bro, it's so obvious, because he's actually
he's a good guy. Fournier.
So, there you go. Again, all these dudes I'm naming from France, like I said, Batum, Fournier, Gobert, Tony Parker, Wimby, these dudes can hoop, man. And Koulibaly, he's one of them, bro.
Yeah, he can hoop.
I wouldn't be shocked if French basketball, including his brother, they run the world scene for a while. They went in the Olympics and the World Cup, because these dudes, I think, are that good, for real.
Well, France, you think France can win the World Cup?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely.
They can win the U.S., you mean the Olympics? They can win the Olympics, you mean?
Yeah, I think so. I'm talking about the future with these young dudes, the talent they got.
Oh, Wimby and Bilal? Yeah, possible.
Yeah, definitely absolutely.
Possible. Wimby's a problem.
They got a mob over there, man.
Wimby's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's his guy. I'm telling you, I think he's just as tough as what is described in Wimby and Tony Parker.
I think he's tougher than Wimby. I mean, tougher. I ain't not better, but tougher than Wimby.
I got what you're saying.
Yeah, all right, so I'm not going to talk about, like, the Wizards playing game, but your thoughts about the in-season tournament. Your thoughts about the NC tournament at period. Forget the Wizards element. Just period, bro. We're going to talk about
it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not feeling it.
Thank you, Ray. Am I the only one? I'm glad I'm not the only one. I'm glad. I ain't feeling it either, bro.
I know I was watching Fox. I don't have a problem with saying that. I still watch Fox. And these guys were loving the design of the courts and things of that nature. And that's great.
Ain't that the we big all have, three? All have them, don't they do that in the big three though? Aren't they, isn't that the, how the big three courts look? Am I wrong?
I'm just saying, but they're trying to increase the incentive in terms of guys wanting to play each night. That's the whole purpose of it. So you don't have guys sitting out as much. Mm-hmm. And it's a good segue to our next segment because James Harden, people forget. We criticize James Harden for who he is now. And I get it. Yeah. I get the criticism. But that brother used to play all 82 games. All the time, man. Right. And his body's wearing down because he never took nights off. He was a guy that you could rely on in terms of you got a ticket. You knew you were going to see James Harden. Yep. So that's what the NBA is trying to get back to. They want their stars playing every night. They don't want guys sitting out. So they say, okay, you can win this in-season tournament. And you can be a full strength because you want to make sure you win this tournament. I think they could have did better in terms of just making the game fresher. Or maybe for real, it's decreasing the games that probably be the best thing for these guys.
I wouldn't want to, but
82 games is a lot for these dudes on a hardwood court. The travel, they don't get as much sleep. I just think that's the best way to maximize. That's why the beginning of NBA season is always like amazing. You be like, dang, like these dudes play so hard, and then it tapers off somewhere.
That's fair.
You know, and around like mid to late November, around Christmas, it revs back up because now all eyes are mostly on you. And then playoff time is when everybody's like, okay, I'm happy to see the NBA again. So there's where you need to attack some of the lack of star power issues where players like Kawhi are like, you know what? I'm not playing. What's the point of playing tonight against the Pistons? I'm not doing it. But the in-season tournament, no, I want to play against the Pistons tonight because I want to win the in-season tournament.
I don't even know how that is important. I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, money, I guess, but – because it says in-season tournament, because you still play at home. You still playing at home. Like, I don't get it. It's a regular season game for real. That's like, all right, real talk, not to be stupid, but it's just like, I don't know about you growing up, but for me, like, we do our little 3-on-3. You play 3-on-3 basketball, like, as a little kid or whatever, and then you just make a tournament. Like, you make a rec tournament. Like, not no real organization, but yeah, we just do. All right, we're gonna make a list on sheet of paper. You to see now in seeds. If you win, you go here. You win, like, literally. That's what it sounds like to me. It's like a summertime tournament. Like, you just make it up a tournament, like a 3-on-3 tournament.
Okay, so if you're not going to decrease the name of games, then you got to do better at the CBA. It's gonna be a lockout because the players got more. They got too much control. That's why they can sit out games. That's why.
Yeah.
There are times where they don't play as hard, man. They are in control, bro. They get paid a lot of money. It's all guaranteed.
That term of crap is trash. I don't know. I don't get that, John.
It's not helping motivate.
It ain't motivating me, bro. It's not. I'm sorry. But you mentioned James Harden. You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but last week, the LA Clippers traded star guard James Harden. The Sixers traded star guard James Harden to the Clippers for multiple picks and players or whatever. So in his first game with the Clippers against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, Harden scored 17 points, had 6 assists, but the Clippers still lost. All right, for you, Ray, does this? You know, they got a big time roster. They got Harden, Kawhi, Paul George, and Russ. These are 4 Hall of Famers right there for real. NBA Hall of Famers. Or basketball Hall of Famers, whatever you want to call them. Does this move make the Clippers a true contender out of the West?
I think they're already contenders, even without James Harden. But I'm not going to say he moved the needle simply because of, like I said, the mileage he has. I love his game. I love him as a passer. You know, he's an underrated passer, man.
He's a great passer. James Harden gets his teammates the ball.
And Russ always brings energy. I think them playing off of one another, or when Russ is not on the court, then you got Harden on the court and vice versa. I think that's the best thing for Coach Ty Lue. But it comes down to health. And again, with James Harden having so many miles, with Kawhi, his injury history, with Paul George's injury history, I just don't think they can hold up and be durable enough to go 7 games with a team like Denver. Because if you're going to upset defending champions, it's going to go 7. And I don't know if these guys, like, kind of like Chris Paul struggles with, once the postseason comes around, his health starts to deteriorate because it's just a lot of basketball, a lot of hard playing games on the road. Intensity is high and against these younger athletic dudes like a Jamal Murray. I just don't think they can compete with that because of Father Time, bro. That's the thing. So I like the move, and I think that maybe Western Conference Finals might be where they reach their peak, because Denver's the best team in the West, flat out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you beat them, you're going to need to infuse young talent, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be hard, because I just feel like there's the spacing isn't going to be the same. Because James Harden needs the ball in his hand. And he hasn't shown, like, James Harden now, as what he is now, I don't know if it's a championship squad. I will say it's wild. I do think James Harden, OKC, though, would make it a championship squad, though. The OKC James Harden.
Oh, Houston James Harden. Of course, he was that guy, man.
But I even think the one from OKC would, though. Because the one from OKC didn't really have to have – he wasn't super ball dominant. The one OKC wasn't ball dominant. Like, he could score from multiple areas. It wasn't like he was trying to get fouled. It was like he was just playing ball. Like, he was hooping. When he got to Houston, then it was, it was like, all right, the art of, getting to the line. Was it, like you said, Ray, an amazing playmaker, like passing and finding his teammates. That's not going to be a problem. Because the issue for James Harden is, James Harden's going to be great in the regular season. I don't think that anybody's going to take that away. He's going to be great in the regular season. Because he's going to be able to go to the line. He's going to be able to get other players involved. He's going to be able to score. He's going to do all that type of stuff. That's because James Harden is that type of dude. But in the postseason, it's going to be more of an issue because, in the postseason, referees swallow the whistle. So those players you was getting foul calls, you're not going to get that in the postseason. So if you're trying to get fouled rather than trying to make buckets in the postseason, you're going to be hindered. That's why late great Kobe Bryant, when he used to assess James Harden's play, he was like, I love James' play, but in the postseason, his game doesn't translate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're not going to – and he didn't say, like, there wasn't a knock on him, but it's because those referees aren't going to give you the same foul calls that you're accustomed of getting in the regular season, the postseason, because you're not going to get, like, when you're trying to shoot the three and, you do whatever and you get touched on the – you may get touched on the three, they're not going to call that. You go to the line and try to draw a foul, they're not going to call it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have to try to look like you're trying to make a basket. So that's the thing. Like, if he could take that out of his game and then play a role with, the hierarchy in terms of who's the star of the squad, which should be Kawhi, if they can all say Kawhi to do, then Paul, then if you want to say, because I think Russell had no ego. Like, people try to hate on Russell. Russell got no ego. Then Harden, then Russ. Russ just facilitate, do his thing as being the guy just to lead the whole team, be the leader. I think they could be a championship squad. But I don't know if James has it in him anymore, man. Like, the stuff that you hear from, like, him at the presser saying, I am a system. Like, him saying stuff like that. Like, I don't know if James has that in him anymore to worry about, trying to fit in a role or play winning basketball. I'm not sure anymore. Because I like James. I've always stood up for James Harden. Yeah, when people used to try to blame him for playoff losses, but it getting to a point where I'm just not sure anymore.
No, it's not about that, man. It's just when you're young, of course you got a lot of energy. You have a different type of outlook on the game, and he had that back then. Like you said,
he did.
Fit into his role perfectly in OKC.
He did.
And now he's running into younger teams who have that now, like the Boston Celtics of the world and the Denver Nuggets. And like I said, it's going to take a whole lot, my guy.
Yes.
In order to knock off the Denver Nuggets. I know we have a comment.
Yeah,
Dujane is a distraction, not a system. I think he tries to maintain some type of swag. Definitely. I think that's more so a confidence thing for him. But I would agree. Like I said, that's the criticism of him around the league, is that he doesn't help your team. He's all about self. And anytime he gets unhappy, he gains weight, he wants to move on. He's just a pain. Like John Wall was excited to get a fresh start in the Rock in Houston, and he totally kind of ruined it for him.
He did. He ruined it for John Wall.
He went to Brooklyn, pushed his way out, goes to Philly, resigns in the summer, but then tries to push his way out. Daryl Morey really vouched for that dude, man. I don't know, bro. It's a tough call in terms of chemistry and how he brings maybe, like he's saying, distractions to the locker room, but I just feel like from a health standpoint, these guys got too much mileage. Their injury history is what it is, and I don't think they can compete with the younger teams out west, mainly Denver, who's they're totally the best squad in the league right now. Boston's right there, but in a different conference, of course.
The Clippers are the Clippers always. The stepchild to go. Stepchild. Go Lakers. You ain't lying, bro. You ain't lying, dude. Today, I ain't here to I ain't here to chant the Lakers, you know, propaganda, though I am. Lake show. But I'm, to me, you're right though, bro. You're right. It's his track record that kind of gets me. It's his track record. But I'm gonna ask you this question, individually speaking. Forget the Clippers. Do you think that a team can win a championship with James Harden? And James Harden at a high level role, not just, you know, trying to get a check or being a role player, like not just being a guy to try for ring chasing. Can he really win a championship being a high level player?
No. Mm. I'm just going to simply say that just for all the reasons I've already said, just don't think it's possible. Again, I think he could be a facilitator, but based on him saying I'm a system, I don't think he wants to be this playmaker. I mean, he could average 10 assists a game easily.
Easily, man.
And I don't think he wants to be that guy, unfortunately, but yeah. I still love his game.
Me too.
It's just unfortunate. And then also the work ethic, you know, at a strip club at 2:30 in the morning and showing up at the game late, things of that nature, or at the last minute. That's the thing. He didn't do that at one point, from what I understand.
He didn't.
Yeah. I heard he wasn't that guy. Like I said, he used to play all 82 games. He would be a guy that you would be excited to see in the playoffs because you would want to see how far he could take a team. And that one year against Golden State, it looked good.
Tom had Chris Paul.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good. Chris Paul got hurt. Yeah, they look good.
He had some opportunities, man. But that lifestyle. And then he was lifestyle, beefing, brother. Yeah. They talk about Lemon Pepper Lou. I wonder what we can call him, man. Shoot. Yeah. The worst thing they can do is serve wings at places like strip clubs, bro. That's terrible, man.
I don't get why they do that.
Wings and drinks. That's the worst.
Wings and drinks and stripper juice. That don't mesh. That don't mesh, man.
And then you try to play a game that night, man.
That don't work. That should not be a thing. That should never be a thing. All right, man. It's time to close this show out. But yeah, I took to close it out though. Yeah, James Harden. I don't think you're championship worthy, but I do hope you. I would like you to get a ring, though. I won't lie. I think because I like Ray. I've always been a fan of his game.
He's still a Hall of Famer without the ring, regardless.
Oh no, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Them stats are self-explanatory. Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X. I want to say Twitter on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Hit that red, if you're on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button and like this video. Also, check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media at empiremedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. All right, man, this has been a great show. I appreciate Chris for being on. Appreciate all the guests for tuning in and chatting. I mean, all the listeners for tuning in and chatting. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. It is deuces. A mega. First off, acknowledge Ray. A mega. Lead us out, big homie.